10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
But it's all street sense drawing away.
It is all Barbaro in a sublime performance.
Giacomo in the final strides to win Derby 131.
Also sponsored by Airdrie Stud, Claiborne Farm, Dean Dorton, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Spendthrift Farm, TwinSpires.com, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, and Windstar Farm.
And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slew in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it. Big brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Rain for the Roses.
But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby! American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby!
And the dream comes true! Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby!
Now, here's Jude Feld and Gabby Gaudette.
Good morning, everyone, wherever in the world you may be. Welcome to the Kentucky Derby and historic Churchill Downs. I'm your host, Jude Feld, and for the next couple of days, the magnificent Gabby Gaudette and I will share with you all we are seeing and hearing as the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby get near by the day. Gabby is railside. The horses are out on the track for training. Let's check in with Gabby. Good morning.
Good morning, Jude. Happy to be here. Of course, the excitement is underway as some of the Derby contenders and the Oaks contenders are putting their hooves on the track for the first time. So what generally happens is that Churchill does kind of section off a 15-minute time frame for these Derby and Oaks contenders to kind of have the track free of any other horse that's stabled here at Churchill Downs. So it's only Derby and Oaks contenders. What they do is take a little bit of a break. They come out with the tractors and harrow the track, and so that these contenders do have a fresh surface to train over. Now, it's already been very busy so far. We've seen several Derby contenders walk past. One that really stood out in particular was Hofberg. He did stand in for a little while, and what that generally is he was standing next to his pony. The pony person did have a little bit of a hold of him, and they turn him in towards kind of the infield, towards the grandstand, just to get him to relax, pay attention. Then they turned him around and jogged him the wrong way. So right now we're seeing a lot of the Derby contenders jogging the wrong way. I did see, I believe, Justify or Salamini, one of the Bob Baffert horses. He was kind of far away for me, too far away for me to tell. But I did see Rhea, who he is sending out in the Oaks. Heaven As My Nikki is jogging the wrong way right now. One thing that I'm interested in seeing this morning, Jude, is that what we see from both Salamini and Justify. So yesterday they did turn around, they jogged a little bit, and they did turn around and gallop, but I would say it was less than a mile, so taking a really easy day yesterday. But today I'll be interested to see what they look like, what their energy levels are like in their first day of aggressive training, Jude.
Yeah, it's usually the day off the trip, you don't want to do too much with them. You just let them go out there and stretch their legs a little bit. But the horse I'm waiting for you to report on is Bolt Doro.
That too, yeah, because he only jogged yesterday.
He only jogged, so I want to see how he gallops over the track. And nobody better than you to keep an eye on him. You've been in this business a long time. Your family, storied family in Maryland racing, and we're just really happy to have you here.
Thank you, Jude. Well, a couple of notes for yesterday, too. I would say that Good Magic, he made a really impressive impression. That said, he was in the bridle. He galloped really, really strongly, almost on the backstretch, kind of hard to handle. We see Vino Rosso actually galloping by. He was another one that I was kind of impressed with yesterday. He just really responds nicely to the rider. His ears are always pricked. He just looks like a happy horse in the what you want to see. Now I'm seeing Blended Citizen galloping past right now. Easy gallop, kind of a little bit faster than a loping jog. We do see Bravazo actually galloping past right now as well. Spirited Gallop, too. He's really opening his stride. I like what I'm seeing from him. But, yeah, going back to yesterday, Jude, Good Magic, he was very strong. I'm interested to see kind of if they slow it down a little bit with his training today. And Hofberg, I thought that he trained very forwardly yesterday as well. Noble Indy going by. He's equipped with the blinkers on. He is feeling fresh a little bit today. He kind of hopped up on his back legs a little bit there in mid-gallop. Wonder Godot going by right now as well. A really strong gallop, again, as I mentioned yesterday. That's pretty typical of Mark Cassie training. Magnum Moon going by in good fashion as well. So as you can imagine, I'm talking about all these Derby and Oaks contenders. It's a very busy morning. Now, someone is coming around the turn right now. It looks like four blue bandages. We'll see. Really, really strong. And the rider has a tight hold of the reins right now. So that's actually Justify. So interested to see him really picking things up today. Again, yesterday he kind of turned around. He only galloped a little bit less than a mile. So sometimes we see horses who go to the track for the first time after shipping. They get aggressive. So that's not really surprising. Good Magic. He's more controlled today than yesterday. Again, yesterday it looked like the rider was just trying to slow him down a little bit. He's still going pretty quickly, Jude, I will say, but it looks like a more controlled, quicker gallop.
Yeah, well, some of these horses, you know, they're coming off their works and they're feeling really fresh. I see him. I'm farther off the rail than you are, but I see him whizzing by.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering what are the trainers thinking about this? I mean, you like to have your horse be feeling good, but you know, a lot of trainers want more control over what their horses are doing. So it's an interesting balance that you walk sometimes.
Now, I did see a picture of Audible earlier today on Twitter. I thought he had already actually trained, but he just passed by. He's taking a nice slower gallop. Combatant Vino Rosso coming around for the second time, and Blended Citizen really picking things up the second turn, as I'm seeing. Vino Rosso kind of keeping the same type of gait. Again, he, to me, Jude, his impression, to me, has been classy. He doesn't seem to do much wrong in the morning. He responds very nicely to the rider's cues. So nothing new from him there in that regard. And that's what you really want to see. You don't really want to see any changes. Sassy Sienna going by right now for trainer Brad Cox, and Noble Indy taking his second lap around as well. Again, equipped with those shortcut blinkers. We've got Chocolate Martini. I believe Lone Sailor is on the track. Magnum Moon going by again, too. Now, one thing that I will mention, and I'll keep my eye on, I don't see any horses that are, you know, washed out or lathering up at all right now. But I will say, and maybe you can agree with me, Jude, that it's a little bit warmer this morning than it was yesterday morning. Okay, Justify going by me once again here today. He's getting a little bit of lather up by his neck, but not too bad. I'm liking what I'm seeing from him for sure. Good Magic again coming by for the second time as well. He is just a little fighter, I will say. I like how he's trained a little bit more today than yesterday. Again, more of a controlled gallop. But again, Jude, that's pretty typical when we see the weather kind of fluctuate from, say, what, 40 degrees yesterday to about mid 60 degrees this morning. You're going to see horses kind of react to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday it was pretty chilly here. I had a big sweatshirt on, and the minute I got here this morning, I took my wind shirt off because it was already in the mid-60s. So a much nicer day, a little bit, you might say, balmy here. There's some clouds in the sky. Looks like maybe a chance of a shower just looking at the sky. I'm no weatherman. They're lousy handicappers. I'm better than that. So we'll see what happens here today. But it's a nice day for training, and there's a lot of people out here, too. Maybe some of the horses are getting a little keyed up looking at all the crowd.
It's a good preparation, though, for the first Saturday of May, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they're going to have to respond to that. Yeah. Jude, I'm really impressed with Vino Rosso. I might be a little bit biased because he is my Derby pick, but admittedly so. But he just is so classy. He just does everything right to me. He gallops forwardly in the morning. He jogged back really nicely today. Again, ears pricked, just showing all the signs of a really happy horse in the morning. So I would say that he has made a very favorable impression for me today. I like Good Magic, how he is today versus yesterday. Hoffberg has now turned around. He backed up quite a ways, and now he's turned around in for a gallop. He is in the bridle, but in a very, very, very good way. Again, a controlled kind of forward gallop. You always like to see that. A lot of the time going into the Kentucky Derby, Jude, you want to see a horse who's forward, who wants to train, who likes to train. The opposite is kind of not a good thing.
No, absolutely not. And seems to me like you're acquiring a little bit of fondness for Hoffberg.
You know, I think he's the wise guy, one of the wise guy horses in here. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, the likes of trainer Bill Mott, who usually takes those patient approaches in developing his horses, kind of taking the opposite approach with Hoffberg, which would, you know, make you think that he's handling him with the utmost confidence.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like he's not really rushing him into the Derby for some reason. And I don't know why that is, because he's only had two starts this year. He had a start at Saratoga last year and then two this year. But his numbers have improved. You like the way he's training. I think maybe the wise guys might have a decent horse on their hands. Certainly he could be in the money part of your trifecta.
For sure. Now, Kelly's Humor, an Oaks contender, just went by, as well as Monomoy Girl. Now, Monomoy Girl, kind of sticking to a similar part of the track where she trained yesterday. I remember them staying a bit closer to the rail, and that's where she's positioned here today. And as I mentioned yesterday, too, you know, sometimes you like to keep an aggressive horse off the rail to just get them to settle, because a lot of the time you bring them over to the rail, that's the cue in order to break off on the pole a lot of the time for their work. So she has been, she really has great energy. I like what I'm seeing from her. Audible is jogging off of the gap right now, ears pricked. He was okay today. Oh, Bolt Jouro actually going past me for the first time. They're not doing, I mean, they're galloping for sure, but not doing too much for him, as opposed to, you know, Good Magic and Hoffberg, who had a really, really aggressive gallop. I'm still liking what I'm seeing. Magnum Moon is walking past me here today. Now, he is picking up a bit of a lather, kidney sweat, some warmness underneath of his belly and neck area and the girth region. So he's actually probably one of the horses that has reacted to the warmer weather today the most. Again, sometimes you just can't put a lot of stock into that because you don't know how horses generally train or look in the heat. But that's just an observation that I'm seeing from Magnum Moon today. A horse that did get a little bit warm yesterday was My Boy Jack. He just passed me today, or just now, with the pony. So I'll be curious to see how warm he gets today. But so far, Jude, Magnum Moon, he probably has gotten the warmest of all so far this morning.
Yeah, well, you can't really blame him with this bit of mugginess we have going on here. But you're right. I mean, horses, they change from day to day. You see them train. You know their quirks a little bit more. We're on a short time period here. We're not familiar with seeing these horses train every day, so it's hard to gauge, especially with the weather change.
Now, Firenze Fire actually walking off right now with the pony in hand, too. The thing about him, at least from a physical build, you know, dude, you try to look at horses as a physical and try to understand, you know, what distances they're capable of. The thing with him is he is very much built, as I like to say, like a bulldog. He's got a very wide, thick chest. He's really rounded out in his hindquarters. A lot of the time we see horses who like a longer distance, kind of a little bit flat on the top of their bottom, so to speak, their hindquarters when they're rounded out. It just kind of gives them more power for sprinter type of speed. And that's what I'm kind of seeing from him. And even Good Magic, you know, he's got kind of a smaller, scopier type of athletic build. So obviously when we get into Derby week, that conversation is definitely abound in terms of pedigree and in terms of distances.
Yeah, there's a few horses that people say, oh, you know, their pedigree isn't for a mile and a quarter, Audible being probably the main one. A lot of people concerned about his pedigree, but we've seen horses outrun their pedigrees. Smarty Jones comes to mind. Nyquist is another one that comes to mind, even California Chrome. So, you know, it's one of those things where pedigree is important, but it might not be the most important thing.
Definitely. It all depends on working out a trip and if you can kind of get your horse into a favorable position, especially by the top of the stretch. Because we don't see too many horses, even some of the closers who have had success in the Derby, you know, they're not plodding behind by the time that they're at the quarter pole. They're actually in a winnable position. Take Charge Paula jogging by me here today. And, dude, I just can't jump off of her bandwagon just yet. I'm probably going to stick to her going into the Oaks. I'm in between My Miss Lily and Take Charge Paula. Now, she does, too, have a very, very athletic build, really built up behind the hindquarters as well, as I was kind of referring to Firenze Fire and Good Magic. And the blinkers go on her for the first time in the Oaks. She's not wearing them here this morning. She just has her usual equipment on, two hind bandages. But I guess distance is going to be a concern. And, you know, it's kind of unusual to see a trainer make a big change in terms of equipment on Oaks or Derby Day. But it makes sense if you go back and watch her last race, because she just seemed a little bit green. She kind of shied away from other horses when she was towards the rail. So I would imagine Kieran McLaughlin putting those blinkers on to just try to keep her focus.
Yeah, you know, you don't want anybody looking around in the stretch.
Yeah, don't have time for that.
That happens sometimes because the crowd is so loud. It's one of those things that if you've been here on Oaks or Derby Day, you understand how loud the crowd gets, but it's not like any other particular race you've ever been to. It's a little bit on the insane side sometimes. So, you know, you were talking about horses that were close coupled and with the big rear ends, which is something that I ordinarily like when I'm buying a yearling or whatever. But if you're looking at Noble Indy, he's one of those horses that's always given me the impression that he has more of a sprinter's body than a router. Now, he's run some nice races going long, but I don't know about him going a mile and a quarter.
It's always definitely a good question. Now, Flame Away actually just jogged past me again. He had a pretty open gallop, as well as Wonder Godot, who both trained by Mark Cassie. It looked like Flame Away really got a lot out of his workout this morning. He was breathing a bit heavy, getting a little bit warm. So I think that's a good sign. You know, you always want your horses to be very fit going into a race like this. Bolt Oro coming off of the gap. He's as big, if not bigger, than his pony, Jude, and his pony's pretty big.
Yeah, he is a big boy and such a good looking horse, and you know, I really like him a lot. I think he's got a big chance at the Derby. He's coming up to the race in great shape, and I hope he continues to train on well.
Now, we did see Midnight Bisou walk past me, and our friend Jeff Bloom in tow, close behind, behind the horse and the pony. So keeping an eye, making sure that everything's going well.
Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't get on her himself, but Bill Spahr probably put his foot down there.
Yeah, and from what I've read, too, well, I don't believe she trained during the 7:30 to 7:45 break yesterday. So it's interesting to see that she went out during this time for Derby and Oaks contenders. But she looked really, really good today. Talking about a good-looking filly and big in size, just really kind of checking all the boxes there. So I liked what I've seen from her. So we have seen some really impressive, I guess, workouts here this morning, or gallops and impressions. I would say we have one more horse who's rounding the turn here right now for Oaks contender again. This looks like Eskimo Kisses for trainer Ken McPeak. She's actually going really, really nicely.
Yeah, she's been training good the last few days. She's looked pretty sharp.
Her lead switch looks good. She's has a spirited gallop as well. Everything looks good in terms of Eskimo Kisses. So she looks like one of the last to train here. Bob Baffert is still standing on the track at the gap. Maybe he's expecting a couple other horses to come out, obviously on the undercard. But it's such a great atmosphere. Jude, I look to my right, I see Bob Baffert standing on the track watching his horses train. I look to my left, I see Dwayne Lucas sitting on his pony, Mark Cassie on foot on the track. So this is just a typical scene, of course, at Derby Week.
Yeah, well, it's It's a fantastic day here at the Downs, and we're going to take a quick break. This is the Derby Countdown presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Ed, get in here and shut the door.
What's up, boss?
What's up? You have to ask, Ed?
Yes, sir, usually, sir.
Ed, you're naked as a jaybird.
Correct the mundo, sir, just as you ordered.
I what?
You told us Jimmy Johns was going all natural, sir.
No, Ed, I told you our meats are now all natural.
Huh?
That's meats, Ed, not employees.
Oh, I get it now. It's our meats that are all natural.
Yes, Ed. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
How embarrassing.
No kidding. It's a good thing I got to you before your first delivery.
Yeah, well, I already spread the word, sir, and...
Naked?
Oh, no.
He's what? Naked?
Naked.
He's naked.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
Airdrie Studs Sensational Young Sire Creative Cause is now the number one third crop sire in America, ranking first by earnings, stakes winners, graded stakes winners, and stakes wins, with top class graded stakes winners already including Kentucky Derby candidate My Boy Jack, the brilliant Significant Form, and leading older horses Pavel and Skylar Scramjet. Creative Cause is giving every indication he can be a leading sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
The Twin Spires app is the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup. Place legal wagers and stream live racing wherever you are on any device. So download, play, and win today, because with TwinSpires.com on your smartphone, you can bet on horse racing. Use promo code HRRN to start your $100 sign-up bonus now. Visit Twin Spires to place legal bets and watch racing anywhere. Remember, use promo code HRRN to start your $100 sign-up bonus now. Terms and conditions apply. Please wager responsibly.
Pinoak Stallion Alternation, a six-time stakes winner, four graded, including the Grade 2 Peter Pan at 3 and the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap at 4. An earner of more than $1 million, Alternation is out of a graded stakes mare, Alternate, a half-sister to Canadian Horse of the Year and top sire, Peaks and Valleys. A top 10 second crop sire with three black-type horses in 2018, including Missive, winner of the Silver Bullet Day Stakes at Fairgrounds. Alternation, standing at Pinoak Stud.
Don't miss HRRN's exclusive coverage of Derby Day undercard racing this Saturday. Beginning at 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll bring you live coverage of the Turf Classic, Humana Distaff, Churchill Distaff, Turf Mile, Churchill Down Stakes, and the American Turf. Kentucky Derby Day, only on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Firenze Fire makes a bold move on the outside of Factor This. They both have to get to Seven Trumpets, though, who has something left at the top of the stretch. Seven Trumpets wanders off the rail, leads by a length and a half. Firenze Fire fully extended in the center of the track, followed by Regalian in third as Factor This drops back. Seven Trumpets resilient. Firenze Fire chasing as hard as he can, and he's now coming at him. Firenze Fire gradually getting to Seven Trumpets. Here is the line. Firenze Fire wins the Jerome. He had to earn it to beat a tough Seven Trumpets. Colton, Mississippi, third. Regalian was fourth.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown Show. This is your host, Jude Feld, and I'm here with Gabby Gaudette in the shadow of the Twin Spires. So we're here having a great morning, and we saw some fantastic training. Fantastic day here at the Downs.
It is. And, you know, it's incredible to see these horses train in the morning, because they are just superstars. They look like superstars because they are superstars. They're the best of our three-year-old division, and they definitely showcase that today. I guess the biggest things for us to obviously pay attention to today were definitely Justify, Solomini, and Bolt Doro really getting back into the training regimen today after shipping in from California. Bolt Doro, he definitely looked like it was his first day back training. I wouldn't say that it was negative. It was just nothing flashy to me. That said, I've never watched him train before in the past, so I don't really have anything to base my opinion off of. Just kind of watching some of the workouts that he's put in on tape before. And Justify, I thought he looked really good. Solo Mini looked like he wasn't grabbing the track around the turn a couple of times, but then he really found his feet once he kind of got to the backstretch. So, and again, sometimes we see a difference in horses once they get going. Sometimes they get into stride a little bit better coming down the stretch. My observations are on the back stretch, so it's a little bit different sometimes.
Right. Yeah, you've been on horses, and you understand how it works. Talk about that a little bit, how a horse maybe is a little unsure. You see it oftentimes in the mud. Like a horse will start out, and they're not really getting it, and then all of a sudden they level out and go. It's the same on any track. When a horse goes to a new track, they kind of feel it in their feet. I don't know how else to explain
it. It's true. And a lot of the time we see it on turf too. I mean, if you think about the different surfaces, I see it all the time, especially watching replays. Say a horse is going from, I don't know, Keeneland to Churchill to Gulfstream to Tampa. You know, like those are very, very different surfaces. Especially in the fall here at Churchill, we see a lot of horses. You know, it's kind of a softer surface. It's the fall. It kind of, the turf retains a little bit of more moisture, whereas Gulfstream in the winter is just rock solid. So we see horses kind of put their hooves on that course, and they really, really react to it. Takes them a couple of strides to finally find themselves. We see that on the dirt as well, because dirt surfaces are different too. And a lot of the times, you know, it's just, you know how it is, getting off a flight or whatever. Horses get a little bit achy, and then they just need some time to really get into themselves and gallop. Each horse is different. So that's what, you know, a lot of the times in Derby week, we overanalyze training and works, how flashy they are, how impressive they look. But it's really, really important to comment on how they look respective to their previous training or previous workouts. Good Magic, he's a phenomenal workhorse. He always has been. Free Drop Billy, always a flashy workhorse. But that said, you know, the question comes into play, are they good enough to win the Derby? Audible, I believe, really bad workhorse. So if he has a bad work here, it's not surprising. You know, so you always have to comment in regards to what they've been known to do in the past.
Yeah, there's a lot of facets to this game, and I was talking about that a little bit on Twitter yesterday. Horses change so much from day to day, and you see that here Derby week, because most of these horses are coming from other racetracks, other locales, and you know, the first couple days they may not catch your eye, and you don't want to say, oh well, I didn't like the way he went and throw him out.
No.
And then, you know, by the time you get to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the horses are doing great.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to their surroundings, they're used to the racetrack, and they are obviously going to run a big race on Saturday. So it takes several days of watching him and to get kind of a little bit of insight into who they are and what they're doing. And you mentioned Vino Rosso and how happy he looked. And we always have people ask us, you know, how do you know the horse is happy? And how do you know the horse is happy?
It's, you know, it's probably one of the more difficult things to describe, just because, you know, sometimes a trained eye is a trained eye, and it's difficult to really say what you're seeing. Especially on radio. It's a little bit easier on TV.
You do a great job, though. You're very descriptive this morning.
Thank you. When their ears are pricked, you know, they just kind of are touting themselves. They've got a little bit of extra pep in their step. Really, the ears pricked, being alert, showing good energy. The rider not really asking them to move forward. They're kind of doing it on their own energy alone and their own will. Those are signs of a happy horse. Also, you want to see how they look in the flesh, a good coat, good shiny coat. Dapples are an obvious telltale sign of a happy horse as well. So those are just some of the things, but really it's just energy levels.
Clear eye, big smile.
Yeah. Exactly. Carrying the head high.
You know, when you're around them every day, you kind of get to know their idiosyncrasies, and you know the difference between when they're a little cranky and when they're in a great mood.
Yeah.
And you have that insight. So, it's one of those things where it takes experience to know But you can see that. The average fan can see it. A lot of times it's good to go down to the paddock and do a little practice. We're going to have to pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network. Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. I'm here with Gabby Gaudette, and we're talking about the training that went on earlier this morning. And it's just been a pleasure to see all these horses. I know you sound like an anxious fan. You can't wait to get out there in the morning, and then you're seeing all these horses, and your voice gets more and more excited as the morning goes on. And here's this one and that one. It is a lot to watch, huh?
It is. It can be a bit overwhelming for sure because they all come at you at once. You know, they're all backing up at the same time. I sympathize for the clockers during Derby week or Breeders' Cup week when, you know, I think Saturday, five different Derby contenders were all working at 7:30 at the same time. I can't imagine clocking horses and having to do that. Although I did do it in Hong Kong. I had help with that. That was very interesting, to say the least. But, yeah, you kind of have to be alert and witness what's going on all the time. But today, too, I will say, okay, so Vino Rosso definitely made a good impression. He's impressed me in the last 2 days of gallops. Magnum Moon, I will say, you know, as Todd's horses, they're always going to look fantastic. So if you see something that kind of catches your eye in a little bit of a negative way, I guess it's worth saying. Magnum Moon, as I mentioned, he was the one horse that did look like he was getting a little bit warm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sometimes that can be a sign of stress, or sometimes it's just a sign of heat.
Yeah, well, like, and again, kind of analyzing things respective to the horse, like Shackleford. For example, Shackleford was a horse who would wash out all the time. And, you know, he really reacted to either stress or the heat in that way. That was him, though. He still performed. If he didn't do that, that would be a bad sign because right. He would be a non-sweater, you know. So it just depends. But that was an observation. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on him tomorrow morning as well, because I think it's going to pretty much stay this temperature throughout the remainder of the week.
Yeah, it's supposed to be upwards of 78 degrees on Saturday. So I think the warmth is here to stay. We may get some rain tomorrow and maybe a little on Oaks Day. But, you know, I used to train a filly named Veal Vin, and she was really good when she washed out a little in the paddock. If she was dry, you knew she wasn't going to run good.
And, yeah, see?
Used to kind of confuse the fans because somebody would say, oh, she's all washed out. I go, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. She'll run good today.
Exactly, and that's just paying attention and knowing your horse. And, you know, it can be difficult because these horses are coming from different tracks, different climates. You know, some are coming from New York, some are coming from Florida, some are coming from the West Coast, some are coming from Europe.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all really, really depends. So it's good to see them, you know, on a day-by-day basis and make your opinion and your observations off of that.
So tomorrow we're going to get to see Mendelsohn because he's going to be out of quarantine. And that'll be something to
chomping at the bit, no pun intended.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. After our flight, and we're on the air, so I can't answer you.
We get this all the time, though, right?
I know. At least it's better than when we end up doing customer service. Mike and I have been on the air many times, especially at Gulfstream Park in our old location. People would come by and say, where do I put the contest slip? Where do I get a program? We were constantly directing people. And we have our headsets on. It's not like, we're standing here just shooting the
talking
breeze.
Talking to ourselves. Yeah, we actually have headsets on. My coworker, Ron Nicoletti, a couple years ago, the legendary Ron Nicoletti, I know he was on air doing something. And, you know, there's a camera, there's lights, you're holding a microphone or you have a head mic on. So it's pretty apparent that you're on live television, especially when you're talking. And someone just comes up to the set and starts screaming, "Where's the deli?" I mean, those are things that happen.
Well, if anybody would know where the deli is, it'd be Ron Nicoletti.
Very valid point. Very, very valid.
Well, it's fun to be back here on the backside, and so many people, a lot of people that come here have never been to a racetrack before, or they're having a bucket list experience where they never have been on the backside or around horses. And the security here, I will say, does a great job of keeping everybody in line and safe, because it's you know, when you're on the backside, the horses are everywhere, and a lot of people don't know on what side to walk on, or they're not they're kind of oblivious. Like, I've seen people walk right behind a horse that's going to the track. Lord.
They don't know what
how close
the
to
right
death
side
they came.
Or the off side is. how close. Well, you would think, though, to stay a little bit far away from these powerful animals, but no, they do. The security's done a great job. They even got me yesterday.
Oh, did they?
I was driving in with my headlights on, and they pulled me over and said, "Can you please turn your headlights off?" I was like, "Man, that is a rookie mistake." So
yeah, nicely done.
But no, everybody's really enjoying themselves here today. It's good to see, you know, families out here, little kids enjoying. Just they're starting them young. Railbirds. I see a couple of them.
Right. No, it is. It's a great experience, and you know, I love fans, and I love educating them, and we try to help whenever we can. So we're not knocking people participating. We love it, but if you walk by the booth and we have our headsets on and we're talking, we're probably on the air. We need one of those little on-air signs, but even then, I don't think they'd pay attention to it.
You know why? It's because we're next to the coffee and donuts.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, that could be it. People are highly caffeinated, too. So.
Well, we got a bunch of horses on the track now, and there'll be some undercard horses training and other horses getting ready for races later in the meet. We haven't seen a lot of two-year-old action yet, but we've got some stakes coming up. I think there's a stakes on Thurby, as they call it here at Churchill Downs, Thursday to everybody else. But we've got the Kentucky Oaks card, fabulous card, and we want to remind everybody, too, that tonight on Trainer Talk, Mike and I sat down and had a wonderful conversation with trainer Brett Calhoun, who's got a couple of horses in the Oaks. And he is a really cool guy and a very nice man, and you will enjoy that trainer talk. It was a lot of fun to do, and it's on tonight at 6 o'clock on HRN.
Looking forward to that for sure. And talking about, you know, some of the undercard races on Oaks Day and Derby Day, the Ali Sheba on Oaks Day came up really, really difficult. Excited to see Always Dreaming back in action, too. Would be pretty cool to see the 2017 Derby winner back in the winner's circle in 2018. Barbara Livingston took a really cool picture yesterday of him paddock schooling under the Twin Spires. I guess, you know, that would be a pretty sentimental win, too. You don't always see the Derby winner come back in their four-year-old season. But even on Derby Day on the undercard, the Pat Day Mile, that came up a little bit tough. And that just goes to show you, you know, all these horses that just – maybe needed a little bit of a turn back in distance. I've been kind of following some of these horses that you think that they might benefit from a turn back. Mississippi maybe being one of them. Mask has been really impressive for trainer Chad Brown. And one kind of, I would say, low-profile horse who has been pretty impressive was Madison's Luna for Phil Bauer. Saw this horse win the Hutchinson at Gulfstream Park, and he said right then and there, after he broke his maiden, we were going to run him in the Hutchinson, and then we were going to point for the Pat Day Mile. So it's kind of cool to see everything come to fruition. You always like when, you know, trainers have a plan in mind and it actually happens.
Yeah, well, we know how rare that is. A lot of times you make a plan and something falls apart on you. But, yeah, it's always good to see, and that is a very talented horse. You were mentioning yesterday, too, before we have to go to break, about Always Dreaming coming back on the Oaks card, and the winner of last year's Oaks, Abel Tasman, on the same card. And you said that's never happened before.
Yeah, it's never happened before. So that would be really, really amazing to see. And, you know, maybe provide an incentive to kind of keep these horses in training in their following year after their three-year-old season. Because it looks like, at least I did see Abel Tasman paddock school yesterday. I think it was before the third race. And she looks fantastic. She doesn't look like she's missed a beat. I know she's coming in off of a hefty layoff, but you got to trust Bob Baffert that he's going to have her prepared off of the layoff. So, you know, she looks like she could surely win. Always Dreaming looked like he could surely win. And it's funny, and I'm not downplaying Always Dreaming whatsoever, but do you kind of get the feeling that this three-year-old crop, in terms of the fillies and the boys, they've kind of flip-flopped a little bit in terms of talent? I thought that the three-year-old filly division last year was really, really good. And this year, maybe some of the three-year-old fillies, I mean, they've unfortunately had injuries or just a little bit slower to develop this season. We could see the three-year-old filly division be really difficult or really tough and competitive in the second half of the year. But it seems like the boys rule the roost this year, whereas that might have not been the case last year.
I totally agree with you. I think there's, you know, 11 or 12 horses that have a legitimate shot at the Derby. I mean, we all have our favorites, but that doesn't mean that the other horses can't win. We know how that goes. And so I do think the Kentucky Derby, I've said it pretty much all year that it's one of the most competitive and one of the best fields of horses I've ever seen for the Kentucky Derby. And I agree with you on the Oaks, you know, Midnight Bisou and Monomoy Girl, they kind of tower over the bunch, on paper anyway. So we'll see, maybe somebody can step up to the plate. These horses develop so quickly at this time of year, so we'll have to see what happens. But We're gonna go to a break. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
Eclipse champion Blaine notched over $4.3 million in earnings, including this historic victory over Zenyatta. Now he's making a name for himself as an internationally successful stallion. Recent top runners include multiple graded stakes winner Fault and French Classic winner Senga. In the ring, his yearlings have sold up to $350,000. Among the top sires of his crop by lifetime graded stakes horses, his 2018 stud fee offers outstanding value. Blaine, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Into Mischief, the number one active sire of three-year-olds in the world, is poised to have his best year yet. He is the sire of leading Kentucky Derby contender and Florida Derby winner Audible.
With less than an eighth of a mile to go, it's the Holy Bull winner Audible who's clear. Audible by three. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it.
And he will be represented in the Kentucky Oaks by graded stakes placed filly Classy Act.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington-area Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On the swing for home, Baltor Out charges into the lead from length and a half, Solomini. Zatta on the inside, running fourth. He's now drifting four lengths off the pace at the quarter pole. Incumbent faring best of the rest. On the swing for home, Baltor Out charges into the lead from take the 101. They're followed by Solomini, well clear of Zatta and Incumbent. Next is Ayakara, but Baltor Out is forging clear. This is a high caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner. Scores by 7 lengths over Solomini. Take the 101 third. Ayakara finished fourth.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown Show. This is Jude Feld, and I'm here with Gabby Gaudette at Churchill Downs, getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. But we have somebody with us who has won the Kentucky Derby, and he's also cashed a few tickets with Gabby's dad, evidently. We heard that this morning. Chris McCarron has joined us, Hall of Fame rider, all-around great guy, one of my favorite guests because your stories are unsurpassed. You tell great stories on the radio.
Well, thanks, Jude. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you've joined with Team Valor.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, just joined up with Team Valor. I think Barry has an incredible knack of finding horses that can really run, and I'm looking forward to my position, which would be to try to interest people to becoming owners. I'm going to be busy trying to recruit new people to get involved with racing. A lot of people say there's a shortage of horses, but I think it's more a shortage of owners than it is horses. So I'm going to see if I can put my thinking cap on and figure out how to get that done.
Well, you have always had a way with owners. One of your strong points, I think, as a rider was the way that you treated owners and how you always spoke to them, how you greeted them in the paddock. You always took your helmet off when you met the ladies, something I always admired. Talk about that. Talk about being Chris McCarron and your relationship with the owners.
Well, first of all, the hat off is something polite that you should do. You take your glove off when you're going to shake someone's hand, and that's what I was taught when I was a kid. And that's what I tried to teach when I was teaching at the North American Racing Academy. But as I watch on the TV, not too many of the young men are taking their hats off when they meet ladies. But anyway, so I kind of got off track. I'm sorry. What was the main question?
Well, I mean, your relationship, how you used to come to the paddock and you'd greet the owners. It was very important to you. You were one of the first guys out of the jocks room, as I remember. You'd go out there, you'd greet the owners and talk to them, whereas a lot of jocks, they don't even want to give the owners a time of day sometimes. So
it really comes from an expression of gratitude. I'm very grateful to have the mount. And if we didn't have the owners, we wouldn't have horse racing. So I'm always very grateful to the people that I had a chance to ride for, and always made sure that they knew that I was very grateful and thankful for the opportunity.
What do you think your approach will be in trying to acquire some of those new owners and the conversations that you might have? Because it seems like, at least the conversations that I've had with prospective owners, is that intimidation factor. They don't know what to do, how to get started. They're spending their own money. And, how do you think that you're going to make them feel comfortable enough to get in the game and spend their money at the sales or claiming horses?
Ah, that's my secret.
Okay.
I'm not going to reveal it so that all those other hard-hitting syndicates out there could, could take advantage of my strategies.
Well, the one thing I think anybody that sits down and talks to you for a long period of time, they invariably ask you questions about your career and horses that you've ridden. I mean, you're wearing a Touch Gold hat this morning. We were talking about that off the air. Ali Sheba, one of the greatest horses of all time, and a horse that you won countless stakes on, including the Kentucky Derby. Talk about him a minute and what that race was like.
Yeah, Ali Sheba was an incredible athlete, very, very agile, and thank God he was, because he was way back. He got bothered leaving the gate, about 100 yards out of the gate. The horses from the outside came over on us, and I had to take up sharply. My butt hit the saddle, and that cost us a lot of positioning. We were way back going by the stands the first time, and as he turned down the backside when he switched to his right lead, I just kind of eased him out from behind the dirt. And he was climbing behind the dirt, but when I eased him out, he leveled off, and he really got in a nice, smooth stride. And he started passing horses on his own, which gave me a great deal of confidence. And then when I got to about the 3.5, I chirped to him, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and I could feel the acceleration, and he was running by horses like they were tied around the turn. And as we turned for home, Bet Twice was the last horse that I had to get by, and he ducked out
under left-handed whipping. Right in front of us, he ducked out in our path right in front of us, and Ali Sheba couldn't avoid his heels and stumbled. He tripped and stumbled and almost fell. Would have been a terrible wreck. There were 17 horses behind me. That would have been a nasty scene for sure. But Ali Sheba should have been starting to get tired at that point, having gone a mile already, and first time carrying 126 pounds. To have the strength and the agility to get back up and go on by bet twice was quite a feat. And the exhilaration of coming back, galloping back with the jogging back with the outrider on the turf course, and when the crowd sees the winner coming back and it erupts, what a feeling. I've got goosebumps right now just thinking about it. It's a great feeling of excitement, and it's hard to describe.
Was that one of your most memorable rides, would you say?
Oh, without question, yeah. Yeah.
Where does it fit overall? Is it the top moment?
Yeah, it's up there. On December 16th in 1974, my brother Greg and I were riding at Laurel, and Greg was on a horse called Boston Ego, which was kind of ironic because we're both from Boston. And a couple days before, I had ridden win number 515 to tie Sandy Hawley's record, which was set in 1973. So this is 74. I got one win to go to break Sandy's record, and I won a race on a horse called Oh My Love for Dick Dutrow. And that got us over the top for the record. And so that's a memory that will stay with me forever. You know, it took a lot of rides. I rode 2,199 races that year and a lot of hard work. So that race is right up there at the top of the heap with as far as I'm concerned.
As I remember, you were riding day and night. You were going everywhere you could possibly go to get mounts, and you really had to work hard for that record. And then later on, you and Sandy Hawley became the best of friends.
Yeah, I was best man at Sandy's second wedding. and we became really good friends, and I rode day and night. I started riding 7 days a week in in June of that year. My agent, I had such a great meet at Pimlico, won 113 races in 60 days, broke Vincent Percelli's record, that my agent did the math. He said, if we keep this pace up, he said, we could break Sandy's record. I said, oh, you're drinking your bathwater. So we started riding 7 days a week. Delaware was dark on Tuesday, and I'd drive over to Monmouth Park and ride over there. Then from September on, I was riding 8 cards a week. I'd get done at either Bowie or Laurel, wherever we were racing, ride 8 races there, drive to Penn National, drive 2 hours, and ride another full card there, and stay over Sunday night and ride another full card there. So for the last 4 months of the year, I was riding 8 cards a week.
Wow. Well, you obviously had a tremendous amount of experience in the Mid-Atlantic region, but a lot of successful apprentice riders, jockeys, what have you, throughout the past couple of decades have come from Maryland or the Mid-Atlantic region. Do you think that that's almost a blessing to be able to, if you want to, ride 7 days a week and really get that foundation into you as a young rider and kind of start building your career in Maryland or the Mid-Atlantic?
Without question. That's a good point. It is a good place to, if you want to work hard, it is a good place to be because you have so many opportunities, tracks close enough together within a couple-hour drive. I remember in 1988, Kent DeSormo was going for my record, and he came up short, and he set it as a goal in 1989 to break the record. And so he started riding 7 days a week right away, early in the year. And so he would go to Meadowlands at night and ride in Maryland and fly up to Meadowlands and ride up there. And he ended up winning 599 races. So he shattered the record. So the Mid-Atlantic is a great place for a young person to get great opportunity, especially for some reason the Maryland trainers like to get the weight off.
They do.
They love to ride bug riders. Uh-huh. Love to get that weight off, and that gives the apprentices a great opportunity.
There's such a plethora of great horsemen in Maryland, and I know Odie Cleland was your mentor, your first real break in the game, so to speak. But, you know, Gabby's dad, I mean, there's guys that have trained horses for years. Their families have been in the game. It's a really tight-knit group of people and very knowledgeable horsemen. Maybe the best concentration of horsemen, you know, in the country. So I think when you do ride there, you learn a lot of things.
You sure do. Yeah, you certainly do. It's a great place to get an education as far as being any kind of horseman, whether you're a trainer or a jockey. It's just a good area, and it's gotten better over the last 10 years. You know, the money, the purses have come up. Mm-hmm. Maryland's experienced a real resurgence in the last 10 years.
I'm curious to find out this answer. Obviously, there's the Santa Anitas, the Churchills, the Saratogas of the country, but what has been your favorite obscure track to ride at when you're riding? Say, you know, like Bowie or the Meadowlands, or do you have like a favorite minor track that you used to ride at?
You mentioned Bowie. I really loved Bowie. I did.
Really?
There was nothing but a grandstand and a racetrack. That's it, and a stable area, two stable areas. You got Queenstown and Blueberry Hill, but it's all houses now, and so it saddens me to see how many tracks have gone by the wayside. Mm-hmm. Bowie closed around 85, something like that. That's where I won my first race. I won my last race at Hollywood Park. That's going to be the L.A. Rams and L.A. Chargers football stadium. So it's kind of heartbreaking to see these tracks go by the wayside. But Bowie's definitely one that has a special place in my heart. I used to love to ride there.
It's an interesting place, too. I mean, that's the racetrack that I really grew up at. You know, my dad had a big barn on the backside. There was the Hacienda, which is kind of like an indoor training facility, which will scare you, the life out of you.
Yeah.
And then you also had the Woods, which was a little training facility in the woods, which would also scare the life out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the bridge, they built a bridge to walk onto the track, too. So even after it, the actual racing did finish, it stayed open. I guess it closed just five years ago, maybe. It stayed open as a training facility. So,
yeah.
It's kind of cool that we both have some fun memories at Bowie Racetrack.
Yeah. But one other track that I have some fond memories of is Rockingham Park.
Oh, okay.
Up in Salem, New Hampshire. At one time, it was a great meet. It's in a beautiful area. Salem is really nice. Lots of lakes and ponds around there and stuff. At one time, Rockingham was a real serious meet, but it closed quite a long time ago.
Well, we certainly wish you all the best in your new position, and you've illustrated what you have to do to get new owners. Just sit down and tell them some of those stories,
yeah,
and they're going to want to get in this business.
Well, I've heard from countless people. There's nothing. There are people that have a lot of money, people that have experienced a lot of great things, own yachts and what have you, planes. And I've heard so many times, there's nothing like walking into the winner's circle with your horse when you get to the wire first and have a chance to get your picture taken. So we're going to try to instill that excitement into some new folks.
Well, there you go. That's Chris McCarron. He's going to work for Team Valor. Keep an eye on him at the track. If you have any questions, want to get in the game, he's the man to talk to. Chris, thanks for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jude. Thanks, Gabby.
All right, we're going to get to a break. This is the Derby Countdown presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich, is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way! Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Owner View's Thoroughbred Owner Conference is bringing thoroughbred ownership into view. Plan on attending this innovative and entertaining conference focused on thoroughbred ownership. You'll enjoy panel discussions from industry experts, wonderful social events, and engaging networking opportunities throughout the week of the 2018 Breeders' Cup Championships at historic Churchill Downs. Visit ownerview.com and register now. That's ownerview.com.
Exaggerator, Curlin's all-time leading son, is still the last three-year-old colt to win three grade ones in a single season, with extreme wins in the Santa Anita Derby, Preakness, and Haskell.
Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
A tremendous performance from Exaggerator.
But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
His extreme foals are arriving now.
The road to the Triple Crown is heating up with the weather, and there are talented horses in every division running on racing's biggest days. Pope Jude reports highlight top-class racing from coast to coast and put you onto horses rounding to excellent form long before the general public becomes aware of them. Our on-track presence at major racing venues gives us an edge that others don't have, and we share what we know with you. You can win money at the racetrack. Visit PopeJude.com. That's PopeJude.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
My Boy Jack is six, still eight lengths off the lead. Gravitas comes to the quarter pole, leads it by two lengths. Telekinesis second, Honor Up third. And then Seven Trumpets in fourth. My Boy Jack swings wide for the drive in fifth. Five lengths away, four lengths away. Here's Telekinesis up the inside to challenge and take the lead. Here comes My Boy Jack down the outside, and Gravitas fighting on in between those two. Telekinesis, My Boy Jack, come to the front of the closing strides. My Boy Jack gets up in the final jump to win it for Kent DeSormo in the Stone Street Lexington. 1 minute 44 and 1/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown Show. This is Jude Feld, and I'm here with Gabby Gaudet. And nothing beats having a guest where you can just point at the headset and he puts it on. He knows exactly what he's doing. Jeff Lifson is here. Jeff, longtime television star and now works for West Point Thoroughbreds. And
now I'm just a goober. Now I'm just a goober who, when you put the microphone in front of me, I don't do what I used to do.
You don't sign autographs anymore?
Oh, no, I sign autographs.
Okay.
Mostly to folks that remember me when I was doing, like, snowstorms and stuff like that back here in Louisville. Ain't you the fellow that did that big snowstorm back in 1994? Yeah, I'm that guy.
That was me.
Well, it's great. It's great to see you. We go back a ways. We've been friends a long time.
And, oh, my gosh.
And
I have way many more gray hairs than you do.
So. I don't know. We're running head to head. I know you're younger than me.
It's a ding-dong battle.
Yeah, we don't look like Baffert yet, though.
No, so, no, right. No.
Man, West Point, you guys have been on a roll. And
It's been a dream-like kind of deal since last year at this time.
Right. You won the Derby. Tom Durkin in the Derby winner's circle. That's a task right
we
there.
We had to get the defibrillator all out just in case. If anybody's seen that video of him losing his cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Right then.
I've seen that.
Pure joy, yeah, right? I mean, this is a guy who obviously has experienced everything there is to experience except for one thing. He's never won a Kentucky Derby before.
Yeah.
And that was pretty special. And to have him back now with My Boy Jack, we're scooting in right under the wire. Terry negotiated a deal with some tremendous partners. The Don't Tell My Wife guys, I've met really for the first time yesterday at the draw. They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're laid-back, great guys.
That's
and,
cool.
Of course, Saul Kuhman with Monami. Saul, I mean, is there a more excited, energized?
He's like an energizer bunny.
Dude.
I mean, I've never seen him like docile.
Yeah.
I've never seen him in that. Yeah.
So I was showing him my winner's circle photos from the Derby. And I was like, well, I'd really like to see this happen for you, sir. You
know,
since he's done so much already in the business in a short period of time.
He's had a meteoric rise to stardom as well. Well, I was down on the track last year after the race, and Chauncey and I were actually in the tunnel. He almost got killed. By Thunder Snow.
Yes.
Yeah. I pushed him out of the way, and he's looking at me like, dude, what did I do, you know? And I tell everybody I saved his life. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was a dangerous situation.
Yeah, it was.
There. But then after that was done and the race was run and the track was a sea of slop, and here comes Terry down through the tunnel, and, yeah, he's crying and he's happy, and then some guy comes over, and he's like, he's going to tackle him. And I thought he was this close. I mean, just inches away from ending up in the mud on the racetrack.
And Terry is a Ranger, former Army Ranger, maybe had a way of, you know, disarming him and putting him, but he didn't have to.
Wouldn't have been a good situation.
I told him that after. I said, it's a tribute to your strength and your conditioning, because I know he still works out, and he's a
fit dude,
very fit guy. And I said, most people would have ended up just with their suit covered in mud. I mean, it was an amazing scene for me. I mean, just watching everybody is always fun at the Derby. My favorite one was Doug O'Neill's second Derby, because I was actually in the box with him. So I'm interviewing him all the way down to
Isn't
the track,
that cool?
Which was so cool. And he said some nice things about me, which was also cool. But it was one of those situations where I really was scared for Terry. I really was.
Thank God he survived. And he didn't have a suit that was full of mud when he got a chance to meet Bob Costas and the governor and all that kind of stuff.
The shoes might have been a little funky.
That's okay. You know, the one thing, speaking of big winner circles, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Mike Pegram brought half the town of Princeton, Indiana, into the winner circle with Real Quiet. And that was another just, you know, real joyful. I mean, they're all supposed to be joyful, but let's face it. I mean, some folks are a bit more subdued. You know, their joy is more internal. Mm-hmm. We wore our joy on our sleeves last year. It's surreal.
And how are the emotions and the feelings like going into this year's Derby? I mean, are you guys obviously are excited, but do you feel a sense of pressure, or is it just
None whatsoever from that perspective, as you might expect, Gabby. Mm-hmm. No pressure. It's a different crew. There's a couple people that were in on Always Dreaming that are now in on this particular horse, including the sweetest little old lady from Louisiana. Her name is Janice LeBlanc. She's in on Coax Rocks and My Boy Jack, and had a piece of Always Dreaming last year as well, too.
Wow.
Widow, living the time of her life, a great time. And she showed up in the winner's circle with duck boots on her. No, she actually had those boots that have like little flowers on them, et cetera, last year. Probably have to do that again Oaks Day this year. But to answer your question quickly, you can't believe it. You pinch yourself, and it's a joyful thing. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on us, although, and because the field is so spectacular, I mean, I don't think we hold any, you know, similar feelings that we do with Always Dreaming. I really thought we were going to win with Always Dreaming. I really did. I thought we came in with a loaded gun. And while I think My Boy Jack is, you know, very much capable of winning this thing, it's just a brutally tough field this year.
Yeah. No, it is. There's, 11, 12 horses that have a chance of winning, and nobody would be shocked to see him in the winner's circle. So
I don't think people would be shocked to see us win. If the pace scenario goes well and he comes like he has every single race closing, I just know that there's a beast over at Baffert's Barn. Todd's got a couple. You know, Mendelsohn looks like he's a freak of nature. Mm-hmm.
We were talking a little bit. I have been talking about kind of the pace scenario with several people in that, you know, it kind of seems like there are a lot of horses in that second flight to make that move. So it could just be a collapse. And of the likeliest closers, it's going to be My Boy Jack.
There you go.
Holding up my hands in triumph. Please hand me the trophy, Bill Carstangen.
There's a guy that's done radio before. He's describing what he's doing.
Yeah, well trained.
I heard comedians do that all the time when they're, you know, doing their big HBO special for radio.
Well, the one thing about it is that you guys provide a service to so many people that want to be in the game that can't really afford to play at the highest level, but you give them that high-level experience, and I think that's one of the beauties of West Point Thoroughbreds.
We've got some people, this is their very first year owning horses that have a horse in the Kentucky Derby, which is...
Well, you spoiled them.
Wicked
they
cool.
won't be back.
Yeah, exactly. Easy game. It's over. The honeymoon is over. That's right. Which is neat. I mean, that's a really neat deal. I remember, you know, I'm old enough with West Point to know when we had our first Derby starter in 2006 with Flashy Bull, there were a couple people that was the first horse they bought into as well, too, including Tommy Thompson, former governor of Wisconsin, who would call me up periodically after races that Flashy Bull did not win and say, "What the hell happened?" Because he was green as grass, right?
So but now he ends up now in the you're Derby. Like a trainer. You have to listen to this stuff, right?
But, yeah, it's a neat deal. And obviously we're not the only game in town, but it's been great to be able to do it back-to-back. We think, you know, we bust guts for our partners in order to try to put together deals like this and also get horses that get here, you know, from the yearling sale or the two-year-old sale on. We've been able to do that. Commanding Curve was an example of that a couple years back. It's a labor of love, but it's a labor this week because we do have quite a few folks in town, and we don't want any of them to have anything but an amazing experience.
And the social aspect of it is so important, too. And you mentioned...
Yeah, everybody's drunk.
Your little... Well, I don't know about your little lady that's got pieces of horses that's the...
She probably
the
sips a little wine.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Come on,
yeah.
It's but, Derby.
But that's so great for her to be able to come out here, be amongst people that she knows, enjoy that experience with other people. And
she's great. I mean, my wife hangs with her. I've hung with her. She's tremendous. She's a neat lady. And there's so many other great stories. The two partnerships that own the Oaks and the Derby Horse, full of amazing people, including a guy named Rob Masiello, who has been with us forever and ever and ever, owns horses on his own, predominantly on the East Coast, and is... I don't want to jinx it, but he's had several horses that were going to be in the Kentucky Oaks. One scratched 3 hours before the race. Oh. One scratched like 2 days before the race. So I should probably just like find a shaker of salt to throw over my shoulder right now. But Rob Masiello, we got to get him over there to race
to the Oaks.
That's cool. Horse racing sometimes. But I'm curious in terms of the partners. Have you seen... You know, some of the partners, they tell their friends about their experiences, and then it kind of just sprawls from there. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, it's a referral type of business. I mean, there's one guy who is with us for the first time, right? He's on the board over at the business school at UK, right? He's a big titan of industry, CEO kind of guy. And he met somebody whose wife was also on the board this past fall, for, you know, sort of a football weekend for the board meeting. They got together, they started talking, and he's become one of my best clients, my best partner since that time.
That's fantastic.
Cool. So, until I screw it up.
Well, you rarely do that, if ever. So, we really appreciate you stopping by, and we wish you all the luck Friday and Saturday. And
I wish you the best stories and the best experience you could possibly have. HRRN is a fabulous service to the industry.
And oh, thank you so much.
You guys are most appreciated. When I hear, you know, broadcasts from Barbados, I get real jealous because I was there for 3 years with ABG. And the broadcasts that you guys do across the country, it's a labor of love, but it's also so critical to the industry. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. That's Jeff Lifson. We're going to have to go to a quick break here. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby.
Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Fresh.
I'm calling because I saw one of your delivery persons today, and he was totally naked.
Ma'am, I sincerely want to apologize for any...
Buck naked right there on the street.
Ma'am, we're doing all we can to...
And I say it's about darn time.
I know, and I'm gonna... Wait, what?
The human body is a beautiful thing, don't you agree?
Well, I...
We've suffered the tyranny of clothing for way too long.
Okay, but...
So thanks, Jimmy John's, for going all natural.
Actually, ma'am, it's our meats that are all natural.
Say what now?
Our meats are all natural. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
So I don't suppose I can expect all natural delivery in the future?
No.
Darn.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Airdrie Studs Sensational Young Sire Creative Cause is now the number one third crop sire in America, ranking first by earnings, stakes winners, graded stakes winners, and stakes wins, with top class graded stakes winners already including Kentucky Derby candidate My Boy Jack, the brilliant Significant Form, and leading older horses Pavel and Skylar Scramjet. Creative Cause is giving every indication he can be a leading sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
The TwinSpires app is the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup. Place legal wagers and stream live racing wherever you are on any device. So download, play, and win today, because with TwinSpires.com on your smartphone, you can bet on horse racing. Use promo code HRRN to start your $100 sign-up bonus now. Visit TwinSpires to place legal bets and watch racing anywhere. Remember, use promo code HRRN to start your $100 sign-up bonus now. Terms and conditions apply. Please wager responsibly.
Pin Oak Stallion Broken Vial hails from one of Pin Oak's most important families with four successful sires, including young leading second crop sire, Alternation. Broken Vial's three graded stakes horses in 2018 include Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks winner, Chocolate Martini, and Grade 1 placed, Mended. Among Broken Vial's 79 lifetime stakes winners are Grade 1 victors, Unbridled Bell, champion two-year-old filly Champagne Room, Best Performance, Sassy Image, and Rosalind. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And it is Always Dreaming in front. Always Dreaming with Battle of Midway, a length and a half behind as they come into the final furlong. Looking at Lee is making a bid now through on the inside up in the second. Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead, a 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby. It was Looking at Lee second, followed by Battle of Midway and Classic Empire. The final time was 2 minutes 3.59 seconds.
This is Jude Feld, and I'm here with Gabby Gaudette beneath the Twin Spires, and we're joined now by Director of Communications for Brisnet and Churchill Downs, Ed DeRosa, and you know Ed because he's on our call-in show every Thursday night and does a great job with that. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, we love the call-in show, 6 p.m. Eastern Thursday with Anthony Stabile. Sure this one will be a hot one. Everyone wanting Oaks and Derby thoughts. Looking forward to that, but also happy to be here with you and Gabby.
Again. Saw you last night. We're
people
keep
are beginning to talk.
It was a great conversation. I thought that was great, and definitely encourage people to check out the HR Horse Racing Nation feed for the recap. Fantastic discussion with Travis Stone, Dan Torgman, Gabby, myself. So
Dan, I think, is going to join us on the show tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to get his thoughts as well. But yeah, a great conversation. We really, really ran the gamut in terms of, you know, approaching the Derby, wagering strategies, also got in a little bit of Oaks discussion. So, you know, it just goes to show you how interesting this Derby is this year and how many directions you can go.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have different thoughts on the Derby, and you can't really say that anybody's wrong. I mean, there's so many horses that are contenders. It's a very deep field. What's your advice?
It is. I'm shocked. There's people who I know, handicappers, horsemen, etc., who I always thought were allergic to. And the amount of people I run into picking Justify that. Like on a normal day at the races, I'll say, oh, I like so-and-so, and they're, you know, 3-2 in a 6-horse field. Oh, how can you bet a horse like that at 3-2, and now they're on Justify here? I don't get it. Like I said, maybe I'll be proven wrong. As you said, we're all right for now. The mile and a quarter will decide it on May 5th, but I got to try to beat him at 5-2. I'm an Apollo believer. Scat Daddy's a little bit of a concern. He's done everything right. If he were a bigger price, it'd be a different conversation, but I'm centering my wagering around either beating him or getting the right long shot underneath, and that's sort of what we talked about yesterday. A couple different approaches on this Derby. If I'm right about Hofburg, I'm not going to let Justify beat me, but Audible's my top pick. I think he's way more worth a bet than Justify at the prices.
I noticed you're sporting a Twin Spires Audible badge.
I am.
This morning, so you're wearing your selection on your jacket.
I am.
Sleeve.
Hard on my sleeve and pick on my jacket. And just hoping I'd run into Elliot Walden. So I'd say, look, but hasn't happened yet.
Have you
yet.
Seen the Audible hat?
I have.
They are off the hook nice.
That's really cool this year. What was it, after Florida Derby that they, or before Florida
right
Derby
before,
that they announced that the downloadable books company was going to be partnering with, the connections of Audible. And I think that that's important in the game and kind of exposing racing to a much, much wider audience.
Well, and they haven't made it hokey, which unfortunately happens in racing sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, you poke fun at yourself, and there's definitely some things around the track tradition-wise that, you know, people make light of, and gamblers especially. And I think that's all in good fun. But when it comes to the horse and a race like this, I think there's a right way to do it. And like I said on Twitter earlier, it just feels like a template for me of what a good sponsorship could be. And, you know, I definitely hope the horse wins for my own pocketbook. But the fact that they have, you know, this company behind them, and I DM'd with them, and they're doing something downtown at 4th Street Live, activation booth, and I'm not sure all that's involved, but they're in it to win it for sure, and putting some heft behind it. And like you said, to reach that kind of audience is nothing but good. And they're paying for it. It's not like we're paying, you know, we're not like racing had to get to them. So I think it's great.
Yeah, it's always good. Back to the, like, what can Brown do for you campaign,
exactly,
which I thought was an excellent tie-in with racing, and put a lot of people onto racing that maybe wouldn't have anything to do with it. So cool when those things happen.
Absolutely. So we'll see how it progresses.
Now, going back to Derby contenders, it does seem like, in my opinion at least, and I'm curious to see if you agree, that Justify and also Mendelsohn, those are the two horses that really seem that people have polarizing opinions on. Do you kind of get the same vibe for those two horses? It's kind of like an all or nothing proposition.
I do. They're both by Scat Daddy, which is interesting. And interesting for me is I always, Apollo was something I said I'd never try to get in the winner's circle, and the UAE Derby, to be honest. And then along comes Aidan O'Brien with this horse who's shown he can ship almost anywhere. He hasn't gone to Australia or Japan or Hong Kong yet. Stay tuned. But and he kind of makes you rethink it, because, you know, with the Coolmore operation, their travel accommodations are, we would probably love to travel the way Mendelsohn does. So it sort of mitigates that Dubai factor. But, you know, that's something on people's minds, how poorly those horses have come over here and run in the Derby, and good horses to boot. So I understand the polarizing nature. And as the first and second choice, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to hedge at 5-2. Either you're all in and you're going for it, or you need to look elsewhere. Whereas a horse like your top pick, Vino Rosso, I don't love him, but it's impossible to ignore at that price, given what he accomplished and how much the barns loved him all along.
Mm-hmm.
You can sort of acquiesce a little bit and say, well, there's reasons to like him at the price, and you can be a little more in the middle. Whereas Justify at 5-2, I'm willing to say, he's not for me.
Good luck.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you willing to leave him out of everything? I mean, what would be your suggested approach to betting this race?
And that's where the strategy comes in, because I do like Hoffberg, who is going to be no less than 20-1. If Hoffberg runs second and Justify wins, I'd be a fool to have lost. So that's where you just got to take the time and be willing to structure the tickets properly. If it comes Justify, Audible, Mendelsohn, I'll lose. I mean, I like Audible. I like those three. Like, clearly those are three talented horses. I can't waste combinations on Justify on top with the second and third or fourth choice underneath. So I'm going to be creative, and Hoffberg's going to be a big key for me, along with Lone Sailor. But that's sort of the strategy. Okay, if Justify wins, he's a freak, but I'm right about Hoffberg and or Lone Sailor, I still need to cash. If I'm right about Audible, that's where, well, you know, Justify underneath's okay, but if Justify beats Audible, I'm going to have to lose.
Yeah, well, that's a, you know, a good strategy, because it's not going to make up for your lost bets anyway. Right.
Right. Now, and there's, you know, people once a year bettors, or they, you know, weekend warriors don't have what I'm putting into it, or don't want to. That's perfectly fine. If you're betting a $12 box, the Derby's the one race where you can chalk out and still do okay at a smaller level. I mean, I know people that hit Nyquist, Exaggerator, Gunrunner. They were on top of the world. That trifecta was less than what I put into the race. So, for me, I can't have the Derby chalk out. I'm I'm swinging. But for those who like to play, and whether it's their numbers or they just have an opinion and they're on a smaller scale, the Derby is the one race where you can make it happen. And even justify it back to if you love them and you want to use them. I go back to American Pharoah. He wins this race, justifies odds on for the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're never going to get 5-2 or 3-1 on a horse like Justify. The Derby is when you can do it. American Pharoah, 2-5, 1-5, 1-10. This is the race. If you really think world-class horse, you're going to get a price.
Yeah, I'd rather get 9-1 on Airgate.
Yeah, well, good point. I mean, that's a and I whiff for sure. But I mean, that's a good example. If you trust what you see, even on a lightly raced colt like Airgate was at the time, that's really when you want to sink your teeth into an opinion. 5-2 here. It's nice to be right on the Derby, but yeah, I mean, Airgate was that. Anyone who cashed him at that price in the Travers, you earned it.
Yeah.
Now, you've been out here pretty much every morning and looking at the horses and having a lot of guests on your morning workout show as well. Talk a little bit about some of the impressions that some of these horses have made, either positive or negative, in your opinion.
Interestingly, this year hasn't really had the American Pharoah or Rachel Alexandra typical, like, wow work. I'd say Lone Sailor may have come the closest. Just, I think it surprised people, so that added a little oomph to it. Certainly as a physical specimen, Justifies impossible to ignore. Yesterday on the show, when he came out with the pony for the first time, I said he reminds you of those kids in the Little League World Series that look like they're 20 and they're playing against 12-year-olds.
Guys that are shaving already?
Yeah. I mean, they're on the pitcher's mound 46 feet away, and they look like CC Sabathia. So Baffert even said it's the best-looking horse I've ever had. You know, what that means for the Derby, we'll see. So he certainly strikes a figure. Lone Sailor, I would say, workout-wise. But this has been a lead-up where there's been no mistraining. Mm-hmm. We had Quip come out, and they just decided he wasn't ready. A couple defections earlier in the year, McKenzie, for instance. But this lead-up to the Derby, I mean, usually you have a horse who doesn't go to the track, or they're wearing some funky shoes that gets blown out of proportion. It's been
funky equipment, like Always Dreaming,
yeah.
Or even we were talking last night
about
Gervin.
Exercise rider change, yeah.
Yeah.
And Gervin's sort of that unfortunate example where you're like, how can you get to the Derby from here? Even Classic Empire with the foot issue. Mm-hmm. Things like that. We've, knock on wood, there's still a few days left, but it's made it a lot of fun because, like, you can sort of trust your handicapping and stick with it. There's been nothing to me other than Lone Sailor, who I have moved up at the price because of what I've heard and from people I trust. Really, it's sort of status quo. So, you know, what I like, I'm willing to stick with.
Yeah, I think it's a tribute to the crop of horses, too, that they've stayed sound and been able to do that. That doesn't happen every year,
no.
I think, when there's weaker horses in the field. But this is a very strong group, and they're horses that obviously hit the ground well and, know how to get around there, take care of themselves.
So. I've kind of felt the same way. I mean, there have been all of the horses in the morning have looked really good. I wouldn't say there's been at least training. I'm not talking about their specific last works, but they all look like professionals.
Yeah.
It's hard to really talk about any negatives, which, like you said, at least it gives you kind of an open canvas to approach the race and how you would like to. And that leads me to my next question. What is your approach in handicapping and analyzing the race? I asked you this last night too, but kind of what weighs heaviest when you really sit down and you start handicapping the Kentucky Derby?
For me, definitely in terms of winning a race, I don't try to overthink it beyond other races. You need to be fast. Whether Brisnet speed ratings or use a more designer product like Sheets or whatever else is out there, but it definitely starts with, okay, who's fast enough to win this race? And obviously there's some 50-1 horses that have happened twice this century that can jump up that maybe look slower than the others, but they're 50-1 for a reason. But I start with who's fast enough, and that's what leads me to Audible. Justify was faster in the Santa Anita Derby, but Audible, it's definitely in the next tier of as fast and maybe alone in that behind Justify, both Dioro with them. So at the price, I start with that and say, okay, here's a horse we know can pop a 107 Brisnet, which is good enough to win a lot of derbies. if Justify regresses, maybe he doesn't like the distance. Mendelsohn, same thing off the UAE Derby. Audible, with his consistency, is the most likely to be right there. So that's what led me to him. Definitely a strong belief that his figures can stand up, and it's a reason I like Hoffberg. He needs a little improvement, but why not in his fourth start for Bill Mott? And it's a cliche term, and I've heard it a lot, but I agree with it when it comes to Bill. No way he'd be here if he didn't think his horse was going to run. Now, that doesn't mean if he thinks he's going to win. He certainly has talent. He's going to fire his best shot. We'll see if it's good enough, and you're getting 20-1. So I'm leaning heavily on the Florida Derby. I think it was a fast, legitimate fast race. People say, oh, it's set up perfectly. Well, guess what? The horse who set it up perfectly for him is in this race. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Marvin Copy, maybe.
You're 100% correct, and we thank you for stopping by and giving us your insights and all the best.
No better way to go out than telling me I'm 100% correct. So.
Well, I agree with you.
Yeah, so
we hope you leave with full pockets on Saturday night.
A flush account. The ones and zeros will say I have a lot of money. Okay.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, this is the Derby Countdown presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Boss, there's a photographer out here who wants to do a piece on Jimmy Johns for her magazine.
What kind of piece?
Well, she heard about a clothing optional delivery policy and...
Did you tell her the naked driver incident was a momentary misunderstanding?
Yes, sir, but...
Did you tell her it's our meats that are going all natural, not our drivers?
Yes, sir, that's not...
Did you tell her Jimmy Johns is committed to serving sandwiches with only the finest all-natural ham, roast beef, salami, bacon, and real fresh turkey breast?
Yes, sir, I did, sir.
So she wants to photograph our sandwiches?
No, sir. Actually, she wants to do a calendar.
A what?
A calendar. You know, the men of Jimmy Johns.
Dibs on January.
Order Jimmy Johns sandwich delivery today. Jimmy Johns, where fresh and fast meat.
Grade 1 winner Data Link by world-renowned sire Warthrop. Data Link scored in the prestigious Grade 1 Makers 46 mile at Keeneland, then set a new course record in the Grade 2 Monmouth Stakes. His runners include stakes winner Stardoza, along with a growing list of talented young runners. At public auction, his yearlings have sold up to $200,000. Data Link, standing at Cleveland Park.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
And he's going to be an undefeated Arkansas Derby winner. Get ready, Kentucky. There's a bad moon on the rise.
Undefeated Magnum Moon seeks to join Orb as Kentucky Derby winners by Malibu Moon. AP Indy's perennial leading sire, Malibu Moon is represented by 14 Grade 1 winners to date, including dual Grade 1 winner and current Spendthrift stallion, Gormley. Malibu Moon, shining brighter at Spendthrift Farm.
Kentucky Oaks, 144.
Rachel Alexander, Kevin Morrell isn't moving a muscle at her. She's going to destroy this field.
Princess of Silma for a shot at 36-1 in the Kentucky Oaks.
She is unstoppable. She is uncatchable. She is untappable.
The Run for the Lilies is right here, exclusively on HRRN. Friday, May 4th, beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern. On Sirius 219 and XM 201.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Look at him cantering around the turn. Ryan Moore couldn't be holding him any slower. Gold Town's off the bridle. Rye is in second place. But it is all Mendelsohn who's absolutely roaring away. He is 8 lengths in front of Rye. Gold Town, Ulog, Moria, Tigey, Vervoer. But it's a game of name the margin. This Mendelsohn is going to absolutely demolish them. And this thing's going to go to Kentucky and win by nearly 50 metres, I reckon. Mendelsohn at the line will win by, goodness me, it's got to be nearly 50 metres. Mendelsohn by nearly 20 lengths has won the Derby and has absolutely bolted it.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby Countdown Show. This is Jude Feld, and I'm here with Gabby Gaudette, and we are joined by Shauna Rosenblum of Grand Slam Social. Not only does she work for them, she founded the company.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
One of my favorite companies, actually. You guys do such a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Yeah, outstanding. If you go to a racetrack, there's always somebody from your company there for a big race.
Excellent coverage. And talk a little bit about how what kind of made you decide to get the company going and what that process was like, because I would imagine it was a little bit intimidating once you started to get going.
Yeah, well, I was introduced to the Breeders' Cup and horse racing through their advertising agency, CTP. So I sort of started to learn more about the game. This was only, 2011, 12? Mm-hmm. And I really knew nothing about horse racing at that point. So it's been a long journey to this point where we're basically the eyes and ears of the Breeders' Cup on social media. And throughout my relationship with CTP, I realized that, Breeders' Cup needed a little bit more on the social front as the, social media landscape was evolving. So I started working in-house for them for about a year, left and went back into the advertising agency world. And then the year of American Pharoah, it just kind of worked out that I had left my current position. The person who was doing Breeders' Cup Social at that time needed extra help. We pulled in Molly McGill, who had done some social media for them, even before I had started in 2012. And we all came together the Pharoah year, and it was this magical moment. And, social media and live streaming was all happening. So we're like, kind of looked at each other at the end of the weekend, and we're like, we should do this. Mm-hmm. We should just do this. So Grand Slam Social was born out of the Grand Slam champion, American Pharoah.
Oh, I did not connect
those. That's where the name came from, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. They started out, like everybody else at the, one or two clients, and then gradually grew, and now you're with the Breeders' Cup. And so I've followed you all along, been a big supporter of them, and I think what you guys do is amazing.
It's really unique
in our business, and you really do a lot to further horse racing all over the globe, really.
We love it.
So what has been your experience so far in this year's Derby? It's obviously, Breeders' Cup is very unique in itself, but at least being here on site at Churchill and just kind of witnessing the mornings that is of Derby week, what have you kind of seen?
Yeah, well, it's my first Derby, actually.
Oh!
Yeah, I've never been.
Cool.
So, I've been to Preakness and obviously Belmont, which is the start of the Challenge Series for Breeders' Cup. Mm-hmm. I've been to multiple times. So I didn't really have any expectations coming into it. I just was kind of like, all right, let's, see how things are. But I think the energy is really, really special here and magical. And the Churchill team has been awesome to work with. We're really just trying to get a sense of how things are going to operate when it comes to November, and trying to help them push anything that they're focused on this week and be good partners in return. Mm-hmm. During their, big time of year. And it's great.
So you've got a big contest going on in conjunction with Churchill Downs and the Breeders' Cup. Talk about that.
Yeah. So it's actually super simple. It's just a contest where you pick the winner of the Kentucky Derby. And if your horse wins, you're entered into a random drawing to win a trip to the Breeders' Cup. So it's a trip for two, airfare, three-night hotel stay, tickets to Friday and Saturday at the Breeders' Cup. It's going to be a really, really cool experience there, trying to give people some, inside access to the event. It's not just, grandstand or general admission seats. It's going to be a pretty cool prize. So,
awesome.
It's really easy. We've been blasting it out on social media, Breeders' Cup Facebook, Breeders' Cup Twitter, Breeders' Cup Instagram, Instagram Stories. You can pretty much find a link to the contest anywhere on those platforms. Just pick your winner. It's pretty simple. And
sounds easy enough.
Win a trip, yeah.
So you hit the link, you pick your horse, and that's all you have to do, and then just cheer for the horse to win. And
exactly.
You got to hope it wins.
You got to get lucky with the pick, and then a little luckier with the drawing.
Yeah.
So it goes in racing. Luck definitely goes a long way.
So it might be one of those situations, though, like if you take a horse that's not one of the favorites, you have a better chance to win. But who knows?
That's a good point because you're drawing from a smaller field. But if you share, actually, you do, if you share on social media and take a couple of actions like following us on Instagram or tweeting a share link out, you can get additional entries into the contest. So there's a few ways that you can get your name thrown into the pool a few times.
So it pays to study up a little bit before you do this. But that's a cool idea, and it's going to get a lot of people excited. And when somebody comes to the Breeders' Cup for the first time, you know, they're going to love that. That's fantastic.
It's so fun for us to run these types of contests because, you know, the Breeders' Cup is unlike anything else. Mm-hmm. It's the energy there, the magic of that moment, and to be able to give that to somebody who might not necessarily be able to go, they're just like, I mean,
speechless.
Yeah, I'm speechless talking about it. it's really great.
And a lot of people probably have never or might never get the chance to come to the different venues like Del Mar or Churchill, you know, and you guys provide the opportunity for them to not only experience Breeders' Cup, but also experience Breeders' Cup at all these different venues, too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we should do something like that for the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. Huh?
Definitely something to see.
Which you were at this year. You never know where she's going to pop up. I'm always so happy when she's there because I know it's a big event. This is not, you know, just another race.
That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, though, to be honest. I mean, with the way the parade out on the turf course before the Classic.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I was blown away.
I've never been.
It's something to see.
Okay. We'll get you in there somewhere.
All right,
maybe we'll leave Columbus home this
suitcase.
Year and you come down.
But you were mentioning just all of the different social media platforms that people can go and check out the Breeders' Cup in this contest. But how have you seen social media evolve, and how have you been able to kind of keep up to date? Because I would imagine, you know, now there's Instagram Story, Snapchat. Now, look, I'm not good with social media. I will say that. But, you know, how has it kind of evolved in such a short amount of time since you began this?
Yeah, it's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge to stay up with the platform updates, and they're constantly rolling out new things every day. I mean, I'm going to the App Store and updating my apps daily because they could, you know, release a new emoji or, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So we're just really diligent about staying on top of the news. And there's, you know, social media platform news media that we follow to, you know, to stay on top of everything. But it's way more strategic than people think. So you could easily get bogged down and overwhelmed by social media, especially if you only have maybe one person running multiple channels. So it's really about figuring out what's the right platform for your goal and your brand. You know, Breeders' Cup, what we do on Facebook is different than what we do on Twitter, and different from Instagram. And Instagram Stories is now becoming its own platform. So we're kind of testing the waters there, but it's a lot of testing and learning for sure.
Well, it's a lot.
You guys usually have at least two of you as a rule. I know sometimes you only have one person there representing your company, but usually have two.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of makes it a little easier for you guys to stay up on everything, because, you know, at the racetrack, it's crazy. I mean, there's a race going off every, you know, half hour, 45 minutes here, a little longer between races, sometimes too long. But, you know, you guys are out there, you know, blasting things out every race and keeping people abreast of what's happening. You know, Charlestown Classic a couple weeks ago, the girls were there and the saddle towel pictures and all that. It's so much fun. You guys do such a great job. And it's not easy, as you said, it's not easy to do because, you know, we try to keep up on it sometimes. My daughter was doing some tweeting out for us at the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. She lives down there, and she was a great addition to what we do. But we don't have time a lot of times to take pictures and tweet them out. So it's a great service.
It's definitely very time-consuming. And people who don't know social media or haven't managed platforms before, it looks easy. Like, when you go and follow, you're like, oh, I could just tweet this out. But it requires a lot of work and planning and, you know, copywriting skills
and knowing your audience.
Yeah.
Too.
And God forbid you typo.
Typos.
They're looking for them. Like, the social media world is out there waiting for you to, you know.
I actually have a Twitter phobia of typos. Yeah. I do. I like, literally, if I was about to tweet something, I would ask you, I would ask him, I'd ask you, is this spelled correctly? Is this grammatically correct?
That's actually why we bring two people to every race, just so one can, you know,
another set of eyes.
It's really hard to edit your own stuff. I mean, everybody that writes knows that. You can look at it 52 times and you won't find the simplest mistake.
I can't even believe, I mean, I think about Breeders' Cup week, when we're getting there the week before, and there's all these festival events, and we're going hard all the way up until race day, and then we wake up on Breeders' Cup Friday, and we're like, oh, this is the actual big day, and our brains are just mush, and,
fried.
You know, we're trying to, you know, get through it, but it's totally worth it.
That's great. Well, you guys do a great job, we appreciate you stopping by this morning and telling us about the contest, and just keep up the good work.
Enjoy your first Derby.
Thanks. Can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very, very good. We'll look forward to the contest and the result.
Awesome. Good luck, everyone.
Right. Thanks. That's Shona Rosenblum, Grand Slam Media.
Yeah.
Check it out. Follow him on Twitter. And anywhere else, you can find them everywhere. So we should talk about tonight's Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Our special guest, Brett Calhoun, Sirius 219, XM 201, and on our website. It was a great interview that Mike and I did with Brett. He's a fantastic guy, and he's got some horses in this week. We're looking forward to spending some time listening to that tonight, and we've got all kinds of shows. We got tomorrow is our final day here.
Yep.
It's going to be sad to say goodbye.
I know.
We've had fun this week.
We have. We've had some great guests. We've seen some fantastic training in the morning, and we've been lucky to have some good weather, too. So, last show, but the week is not done.
Oh, no. Not by a long shot.
Yeah.
We'll have the Kentucky Oaks exclusive coverage presented by TwinSpires.com beginning at 4 o'clock on Sirius 219 XM 201. And streaming live at horseracingradio.net. And Anthony and I will be doing a special edition of the Naira Betts Weekend Stakes Preview, which will be aired at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Kentucky Derby Day. Forget about that. Kicks off with a special Derby Day edition of the Equine Forum, presented by farmpaint.com, from 8 to 10 a.m. on Sirius 219 XM 201 and terrestrial affiliates in Lexington and Louisville. And streaming on our website, we've got the Derby undercard coverage, which begins at 2 o'clock, all the stakes. And then, the most important part of the day, you and I come on from 4 to 5.
Yep.
We're doing an hour together. That'll be our swan song.
Sad, but true.
You'll have to wait till next year to hear this potent team.
We gotta like, create a name or something.
Yeah, we should. Beauty and the Beast.
That's well overdone.
Well overdone.
Yeah, we gotta come up with something creative.
We'll work on that, but that's going to be a lot of fun, and then our Derby coverage, 144th Run for the Roses, begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Time in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One, and all that coverage is going to be on Sirius XM 93. Well, we didn't find out who the Derby winner was going to be today. I'm a little disappointed.
I know. Well,
but you and I have an idea who it might be, right?
What, Vino?
Yeah. We kind of like Vino.
And I hope to celebrate with a little bit of Vino.
There you go. Maybe
Vino Rosso, red wine.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a Francis Ford Coppola has a wine that's relatively inexpensive. I will not say cheap.
Okay.
It's like $14.99 a bottle, or it might be even less.
Sometimes. Yeah.
And it is so good. And you know what it is? It's his uncle's recipe that he made in the bathtub in Brooklyn.
Sounds
back in
delicious.
The day. I know it doesn't sound great, but I'm telling you, it's pretty good. When I used to do some Derby parties at Chestnut Farm for Mr. House when he owned the farm, Mick Reese just bought it recently, but we'd have these big Derby parties, 200, 300 people with tents and everything, and I would stock that Rosso wine in, and people would call me, and that wine you had at the farm was great. And in those days, I think it was like $10.99 a bottle or something, you know. And I'd tell them what it was, you know. Oh, that, I can't believe it, you know. And it was really good. I mean, we had that, and we had Woodford Reserve.
Oh, that's a good combo.
Yeah, so.
I will say that is my New Year's resolution, is to learn more about wine. Because I drink so much of it, I might as well know what I'm drinking.
Well, I'll tell you who your man is, Larry Colmus.
Check for sure.
Check with the announcer, because he won't go to a restaurant that doesn't have a nice wine list.
Very, very true.
We've tried to get him to a few places, but he does know about wine, and he likes it. I believe his favorite is Silver Oak. So.
Silver Oak. Okay, I'm going to have to add that to the list.
Yes.
Yeah, he definitely
better
has.
Cash a bet on Derby.
That's funny.
So he's got a friend. He's the man to talk to.
I will definitely have a chat with him. He might be a little bit busy this week, so
yeah,
I'll have to wait for that conversation.
He's probably indisposed looking at his flashcards, right?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take one more break. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
They're off in the Preakness.
They're off in the Belmont Stakes.
You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Fast, sir?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I could pick it up myself.
Or you could pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast, too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
You wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet. The brilliant Bodemeister is carrying on the Empire Maker line, siring Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming in his first crop.
And the dream comes true! Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby!
The number one second crop sire in 2017 is also represented by American Anthem and is poised for another brilliant year. Visit WinStarFarm.com. That's WinStarFarm.com.
OwnerView's Thoroughbred Owner Conference is bringing thoroughbred ownership into view. Plan on attending this innovative and entertaining conference focused on thoroughbred ownership. You'll enjoy panel discussions from industry experts, wonderful social events, and engaging networking opportunities throughout the week of the 2018 Breeders' Cup Championships at historic Churchill Downs. Visit OwnerView.com and register now. That's OwnerView.com.
It's Derby Week, and there's no better way to prepare than with a copy of Daily Racing Form. This year, Daily Racing Form is available exclusively at local retailers in Louisville, so be sure to pick up your copy before you head to Churchill Downs, as it will not be sold on track. There are additional sellers throughout Louisville from now through Derby Day. For a complete listing of stores in the Louisville area, visit drf.com/Louisville. That's drf.com/Louisville to find a retailer near you.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown show. We're in the last few minutes of the program, and Gabby Gaudette and I were talking while we were off the air about Lone Sailor. And tell us about Lone Sailor.
Well, I do think that he is a horse that has attracted a lot of buzz this week because his final workout was just so flashy and so impressive. He's also been a horse that's just doing, he's not flashy training, but he's just doing everything right. And that's exactly what you want to see. But he has come a long way. I will say that because Tom Amos, who's actually a colleague of mine at Saratoga during the summer, it was really fun. It was when Lone Sailor debuted on the 12th of August at Saratoga, and we mic'd him up, and he went through the entire process of what it's like for a trainer to saddle a horse and give instructions to the jockey and just kind of go through the motions, what he was thinking of when he first saw the horse come into the paddock, just, you know, the process of what it takes on race day for a trainer. And it was funny because Lone Sailor walked into the paddock, Tom Amos was mic'd up, Lone Sailor starts whinnying and screaming and rearing up, and we're all like, oh no, this is not going to be good. And he goes, yep, this is not what you want to see in a first-time starter. But that was really cool to get that special insight, and credit to Tom for being able to give us that type of unprecedented access in the mind of a trainer on race day. And it wasn't easy because he was a very temperamental horse. He was acting a little bit studdish too. So Tom had to saddle him on the walk. And for those who don't know what that is, it's very, very difficult. A lot of the time the valet has the saddle made up, everything. So you just put it on the horse's back, but you still have to put the overgirth on, and it's done while the horse is walking. And it can be very difficult, especially while you're mic'd up with a horse who's just not having it
not cooperating.
So it was a really cool experience, a really fun thing to watch, but just to see how far this horse has come. I mean, he didn't run well in his first start, but everything clicked in his second start. He finally broke his maiden, and like I said, he was kind of an immature horse, but to see him just grow up and in the time being has been incredible, and I'm sure that Tom is really happy about it, especially going into Derby.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We did an interview with Tom, and he was talking about Lone Sailor and the fact that he was a Benson horse, and mm-hmm. you know, Mr. Benson passing away March 15th of this year, and his wife Gail continuing on with the stable and the sports teams, the New Orleans Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans, and you know. I mean, she's a great lady, and she loves this game, and she loves her horses. But when he ran that big race the other day, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. Everybody was, you know, emotional because it was the first big race that they'd run in since Mr. Benson had passed away, and he came up with that big second. He actually took the lead and looked like he might win, mm-hmm. and he got nosed out. So Tom said even though he was very emotional after that race, the trainer in him kicked in, and he goes, why did my horse give up the lead? What can I do to change that? You know, yeah. So very much Tom. Tom's a big, big analyst, and he gets really high strung before races and things like that. So
he's so sharp though.
Yeah. He's a very sharp guy, a very good speaker. And I think things like that, where you put the fans in with the trainer, mm-hmm. because so many people, they stand outside the paddock and the people's mouths are moving, but they don't know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're thinking, what they're doing. I can just imagine, because I liked the statue horse that stood there when nice saddling, you don't get your suit all rumpled. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to sweat. You know, I used to like those horses, but you do have to saddle one on the walk, which means the horse is walking and you're trying to put the saddle on. You know, that's not the easiest thing to do sometimes. And I can just imagine how he must have gone, well, this was a really good idea.
Yeah. Why did I sign up for this? And it was interesting because he gave Rajiv Miraj just, you know, really basic instructions. And sometimes trainers like to do that. Sometimes they just leg them up and say, good luck, jock. Sometimes they give them some information. And, you know, he was a first-time starter, so he obviously gave Rajiv a little bit more information, saying, you know, we took this horse to the gate. This is how he's acted in the morning. Obviously, this is how he's acting this afternoon. So it was just really cool to see that special insight. But going back to what you were saying prior to the Louisiana Derby, I believe Tom said that Mr. Benson's funeral was actually the day before the race, that Friday. So if you can imagine the emotions that were just running through everybody the day of the race, and the fact that he did have a performance like that, you know, It gives you chills.
Yeah, no, it was very cool. And, you know, then he came here and he worked so sensationally. And he's been kind of a buzz horse this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody talking about him and using him at least on the underneath part of their trifectas. And, you know, he's
Tom's
a horse
hoping for a brutal pace in both the Derby and the Oaks, obviously, with Chocolate Martini being a closer, too.
Yeah, she's been looking good in the mornings, too. Tom does a great job. And always try to root for him because I know how hard he works and how much he loves the game, and you know, he deserves the wins that he gets because he's one of the first guys to the track and one of the last guys to leave.
And it's difficult and he has success at all levels of the game. He is a phenomenal claiming trainer and has success with that. And he also knows how to manage his good horses too, which is rare because these are two different breeds, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. It's not a skill that everybody has. Like, mm-hmm. You see sometimes claiming trainers, they don't do well with stakes horses.
And vice versa.
Yeah, sometimes stake horse trainers, they wouldn't know what to do with a claimer if their life depended on it. So I don't want to mention any names, but I used to take like the second string for that guy. And then when I'd get him ready to win, I'd send him over to him and they'd win. And everybody said, oh, that guy, you know, he's good with cheap horses. No, yeah. He's not really.
No, but it is. You have to train them a little bit more delicately, a little bit differently than as you would maybe a typical stakes horse.
All right. Well, the music says we're on our way out of here.
Yeah.
Great job, Gabby. Always a pleasure to work with you. We're going to be on again tomorrow. It's our last Derby Countdown show of the week. So for Jude Feld and Gabby Gaudette, we'll see you all tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. Don't be late.